Retail sales rose just over 1% year on year in August, and it's down nearly 1% on a month-on-month basis. The largest annual growth rates were recorded for sales in household furniture, appliances and equipment. The release of the data coincides with the 23rd South African Council of Shopping Centres annual congress, where it's been suggested that shopping malls are falling out of favour as online shopping gains momentum. Retail futurist Doug Stevens attended the event and spoke on the re-engineering of retail, and he joins us on the line now with more on that. Thanks so much, Doug, for your time this evening. And I want to start off with how reflective something like retail sales data in South Africa is of the health of the consumer, because they don't take into consideration the kind of activity happening in the online sphere.
Right. And to be fair, the level of online shopping right now in South Africa is relatively small. If we look at it in comparison to some markets where online shopping might represent anywhere from 12 to 15% of total retail, in the South African market it's somewhere between 1 and 1.5%. So a relatively small number, but what's important about that number is the growth. It's growing at a rate of about 15% per year, and when you match that against the growth of traditional brick-and-mortar stores, it's really dwarfing it by comparison in terms of its growth. So we have to appreciate the fact that, yes, online shopping is growing exponentially. That is changing consumer expectations, changing consumer perceptions about, you know, what a shopping trip really is and where they begin that journey. So it's certainly going to impact the retail sphere in South Africa. And I think one other point that's important to note here is that the South African market is really so ideal in so many respects. So if you're Jeff Bezos at Amazon and you're looking around the world for markets that you want a piece of, the South African market is certainly one. You have a very young population by comparison. You have very good penetration of smartphones in the market. And you're now at reaching a point of critical mass in terms of broadband access. So it's a market that certainly players like Amazon are going to be looking very, very carefully at.
And it's that's shifting the entire retail landscape quite considerably. To what extent, though, are the shifting needs and expectations of this new age consumer being recognized by the bricks and mortar retailers and being catered to? Is there enough of an understanding as you see it?
No, there isn't. And if you think about this in historical terms, the retail that we see around us today, if you go into the middle of Cape Town and you look around you, you are looking at a retail landscape that was really a product of the Industrial Revolution. I mean, all of it, for the most part, is pre-internet. But in the post-internet world, retailers are not adapting quickly enough. They're still looking at their stores primarily as being a distribution vehicle for products, mm-hmm. instead of looking at them as really being a distribution vehicle for consumer experiences. And the shift that we're seeing globally is that as the world globalizes, becomes a smaller place, as the internet gives us access to whatever we want, whenever we want it, the only reason that a consumer is going to get off the sofa and not order something online but go to a store is that they perceive that they're going to get some sort of unique experience there. And that's really where South African retailers need to get to.
Yeah. Doug, let's put some incentive on the table then. I mean, with consumers looking at any which way to stretch their buck, honing in on promotional activity more so than ever before, but retailers experiencing margin squeeze as a result, how much cost pressure does this potentially, or move in this direction, potentially alleviate with the scope for retailers to enhance margins?
Well, what we're finding in virtually every market, to be quite honest, is that we're seeing a polarization of value. You know, when we looked at markets, if we go back 30 years, for the most part, most consumers aspired to the middle. They wanted a middle-class life and all the trappings that came with it. What we've seen sort of post-2008 is this continual bifurcation of value. So we see good, strong activity at the high end of the market. Luxury is doing quite well, but we're also seeing very robust activity at the low end of the market. So, you know, very deep discounters in the market, online players, they're doing fine as well. What's really suffering is that middle market, that mid-tier, where, frankly, value has become very nebulous.
Yeah. How much merit in the argument, having said all of this, Doug, you know, that this doesn't mean that shopping malls become white elephants, because in South Africa, with as many malls as we do have, shopping is more so an experience and a leisure activity.
Absolutely. And shopping centers, I mean, really, the whole term shopping center sort of defines what our perception of these places has been for, you know, the last 50 years or so. It's been a place that you go to shop. But the fact of the matter is, we're always going to want places that we can go and commune, places that we can go and spend time, where we have a sense of community, a sense of belonging, and to your point, that we can go and have unique social experiences. That, I don't think, is going to change ever. But what may change in the process is the balance of entertainment and food and beverage and retail. We may see centers that have much, much less retail and much more food and entertainment. We're already starting to see that profoundly in the North American and European markets. So as I say, we're always going to want to have places apart from our homes to gather and commune, but the nature of those spaces is going to change quite profoundly.
Doug, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That was retail futurist Doug Stevens.